This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 441, down 4.5. September corn, 437.5, down 3.75. December corn, 441.75, down 3.25. July soybeans, 1445.5, down 17. August soybeans, 1382.75, down 12.5. September soybeans, 1261.75, down 8.5. July wheat, 589.25, down 12. September wheat, 601.5, down 11.5. December wheat, 626.25, down 10.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. The USDA report numbers were within the trade guess, so no surprises except for the increase in the crush estimate, which lowered soybeans. With prospects of a decent corn crop and a big crop of soybeans in South America, and an abundance of wheat overseas, grains will close lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 4 cents at 416 to 447. Soybean bids were 16 to 19 cents lower at 1422 to 1447. In the central part of the state, corn was 4 to 5 cents lower at 419 to 445. Soybean bids were down 13 to 17 cents at 1439 to 1465. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 432 to 453. Soybean bids were 17 cents lower at 1434 to 1462. And wheat bids were down 8 to 12 cents at 559 to 582. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were down 13 cents at 1457 to 1478. With the basis unchanged at 74 to 95 over the August. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 502.30 to 523.30 per ton. That's down $2.20, with the basis unchanged at 20 to 41 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were down 5 cents at 442 to 459. With the basis unchanged at 1 to 18 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 4 to 5 cents at 448 to 454, and the basis steady to one higher at 7 to 13 over the July. Soybeans ended 17 cents lower at 1451 to 1454, with the basis unchanged 5 to 8 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 11 to 12 cents lower at 568 to 571, with the basis steady to one higher at 18 to 21 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids a penny lower at 476 to 477. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 17 cents with quotations at 1472 to 1477. Soft wheat closed 11 to 12 cents lower at 591 to 596, and Milo ended the day 5 cents lower at 454 to 466. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 404 to 413. Soybeans were 1181 to 1206. Corn ranged in the central part of the state from 409 to 422, and soybeans 1189 to 1202. In the southern part of the state, corn was 408 to 428, and soybeans were 1191 to 1222. Soft wheat ranged from 555 to 572. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 143.02, down 47 cents. August live cattle, 142.20, down $1.20. October live cattle, 145.47, down 47 cents. August feeder cattle, 202.87, down $2.30. September feeder cattle, 203.62, down $2.17. October feeder cattle, 203.82, down $1.82. June lean hogs, 115.97, up 67 cents. July lean hogs, 125.02, down 12 cents. August lean hogs, 129.95, up 20 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 11th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.52 lower in the range of $102 to $116.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $112.63. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds, 66 to 69, 4 to 5 weights, 70 to 74, 5 to 6 weights, 73 to 77, and 6 weights and up, 75 to 78. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $77 to $82. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,732 head. And now the report from United Producers Livestock Auction for Tuesday, June the 10th. They had receipts of 386 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were $146.50 to $152.75. Select and choice steers were $140 to $146.75. And choice slaughter Holstein steers, $136 to $140.25. Select and choice Holstein steers were $130.25 to $145. Choice slaughter heifers were $146 to $152.25. Select and choice heifers, $141 to $146.25, and select heifers, $125 to $130. Now on to the Fairview Sale Barn. They had receipts of 200 head, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were $145.75 to $152. Select steers were $138.75 to $139.50. Choice slaughter heifers were $144.75 to $150. And select heifers, $142.50 to $143.25. On to the slaughter cows, premium, average dressing, $104 to $109.50, with high dressing, $114 to $117. Breakers were $100 to $105.50, and the high dressing, $106 to $119. Boners were bringing $95 to $99.50, and leans were $75. On to the slaughter bulls under 1,700 pounds, $102.50 to $111, and the high dressing, $118.75. 1,800-pound bulls and up, average dressing, $114.25 to $118.75, with the high dressing at $120.25 to $125.75. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 450 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass is $120.91, and that was $1.40 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $231.82, and that was 69 cents lower, with select carcasses at $222.95, and that was 60 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000. That compared to 117,000 last week and 119,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 409,000. That compared to 409,000 last week and 404,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.52. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.41. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.43. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.32. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.45. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.41. June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.34. July beans delivered to Scottville, $14.30. June wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.60. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.52, corn at Scottville is $4.43, beans at Greenfield are $14.45, beans at Scottville are $14.34, and wheat at Scottville is $5.60. The livestock futures markets have been making some gains this week. I spoke with market analyst Arlen Suderman about what we're seeing.
Well, we've seen feeder cattle go to a new all-time record high price. They held $200 going into the weekend, which was a very positive sign, I felt, coming out of the weekend. Then you add the double-digit losses we had in the corn prices on Monday, and that fueled additional gains, prices pushing higher for feeder cattle. Fat cattle market generally well-supported, with cash cattle trading in the feedlot region at mostly $2 higher than the previous week late on Friday, and that helped to restore some optimism. But we also saw some good product movement last week. There has been a cap on prices at the retail level. The retailers refusing to pay over about $235 for the choice cuts a couple of times this spring, but this last time when it reached that level and prices started back off, we saw movement of box beef really improve. And overall, last week's box beef movement proved to be one of the best weeks that we've seen this year. So that's encouraging to the trade, and export demand has been good as well. And so that's kind of giving us a resurgence of optimism among traders in the cattle complex.
So we've heard about the cow complex. How about the hog side of things?
Well, the hogs, we seem to have carved out a broad bottom on the cash market, and that's a very positive sign. Futures have seen a little bit too much euphoria, I think. All we've done is kind of carved out a bottom, and futures prices started to take off on short covering and some bargain hunting. I think the initial reaction we saw late last week was probably overdone, and that's why we're seeing a little bit more choppiness this week, but with a positive undertones underneath of the market. We are seeing some improvements show up with product prices in the pork now starting to work their way higher once again. I'm not real pleased with the volume of movement, but the prices for the product are giving good double-digit profit margins for packers. That's allowing them to start paying up and kind of resuming that optimism. Overall, we're still looking at the June contract trading several dollars above the cash market. Those two need to come together before expiration here in a few days. The July contract more in the $14 to $15 level above the cash market. And I think that's going to limit the upside to the July contract until we can start seeing some upward marching of those cash prices to try to catch up.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The Illinois Department of Agriculture is encouraging farmers to save their empty agrochemical containers. The department announced that it has arranged to recycle them. Beginning in late July, sites throughout the state will collect the containers and recycle them into small plastic chips that will be used to make shipping pallets, fence posts, drainage tubing, plastic lumber, and other products. Metal and household pesticide containers are not eligible for the recycling program. Collection sites will accept only high-density polyethylene number 2 plastic agrochemical containers that are clean and dry. Participants are responsible for rinsing them and removing all caps, labels, booklets, and foil seals. To obtain a free brochure about the program, you can call the Illinois Department of Agriculture toll-free at 1-800-641-3934. Entry deadlines for the many competitions to be held at the 2014 Illinois State Fair are quickly approaching. Every year, the fair hosts more than 8,700 contestants, ranging from livestock and horticulture competitions to judged art shows and culinary showdowns. New competitive events are added annually. Information about all of the offerings for the 2014 Illinois State Fair can be found in its premium books, which are available online as well as in print. These books contain not only descriptions of each event, but also specify their rules and regulations. They can be found online at www.illinoisstatefair.info under the Competitions tab. Print copies are available by calling the Competitive Events Office at 217-782-0786. Entry deadlines for livestock are July 1st and for rabbits and poultry, July 10th. For a look at how the crops are progressing through the area, I spoke with Greg Urey of the M&M Service Company.
Yeah, Angela, so I've looked at a lot of cornfields over the last several weeks throughout the M&M geography from north to south and east and west, and as a whole, I think the corn crop is probably progressing about as well as I've seen in many years. You know, it definitely has a yield potential out there as of right now, and, you know, it looks very good across the M&M geography. One of the things I think we need to start thinking about is our fungicide applications at the VTR1 timing. Years when I've gone into pollination with a high yield potential is usually when I see a greatest response from a fungicide application. You know, fungicide applications obviously help reduce yield-robbing fungal pathogens from invading the plant, but also the plant health components seem to have a great benefit when we have a high yield potential as well. You know, soybeans, you know, they're a little bit further behind than the corn. Most of the soybeans I'm looking at are in that V3 to just emerging stage. Obviously, whenever the rains quit and we dry back up, we're probably going to start getting out and doing a lot of post-applications to control some of these weeds. What I've seen is, you know, in the south where we have a presence of resistant water hemp and palmer, you know, one thing that's helped us out down there is when we put a residual on in the spring, pre-plant or pre-emerge, and then come back and layer in another residual post-emerge with our Roundup application, it helps us be able to improve our season-long control of those tough, resistant weeds. In the areas where we don't have a residual on and beans are up, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and add a residual with our Roundup application. Products like Warrant or Zidua will help give us that that season-long control, stop the emergence of any new water hemp coming up. As you drive around, it's pretty obvious that there's some soybean fields that definitely have a higher level of volunteer corn this year than what we normally see. And, you know, most years I think the volunteer corn is being more of a cosmetic eyesore situation, but this year the pressures are high enough in some of these fields that there's definitely can be some yield limiting issues with them. There's a lot of products that have pretty good control over volunteer corn. The key is to make sure we get the right rate for the height of the corn that we're trying to control. And also fields with a lot of clumps of corn, volunteer corn, one thing to help us with control there is to up our volume of water that we're spraying to increase our coverage.
All right, very good. Sounds like a lot of things for farmers to watch for. And you made a good point with talking about corn and fungicide applications. And with this weather, it seems like it will prep up some good conditions for a fungus to kind of start growing out there.
Yeah, definitely, you know, higher moisture levels increase the risk of fungal diseases. They thrive off of moisture. And like I said, the plant health components as well. Once we get into grain field time, we get those hot nights and we have increased respiration and increased loss in carbon. Due to increased respirations, less carbon available to be able to generate and produce sugars to put into the ear. The other thing is the reduced ethylene production and delaying that senescence of the plant, giving us, you know, maybe another 5 days of grain fill on the back end of maturity. Last year, I know we had some cases where guys said fungicides maybe added some moisture to the plant, and I think that might be a valid point last year, but most of the fungicide applications we were doing last year were in late July and early August, and physiological maturity was delayed till the late September and even into October. And at that point, you run out of growing degree days, and that extra 4 or 5 days of grain fill that we have to help increase yield from the fungicide may have caused us to lose you know, more than 4 or 5 days in good drying days.
And how are the soil conditions looking out there? Are there many people who are having problems with flooded fields, or does it seem to be keeping up all right?
Well, there seems to be pockets in fields that are definitely wet. It was kind of strange. A couple of weeks ago, we were getting spotty rains, and those spotty rains seemed to hit the same areas every time. So we had some fields that were really dry and had a great benefit from these last couple of rains that we've gotten, and other fields that, you know, definitely have suffered from excessive moisture and have some holes in them as well. But, you know, overall, like I said, I think the corn crop is looking very good, and the beans are off to a pretty good start. Hopefully we can get a few dry days here and be able to continue getting the beans sprayed and have a good crop.
Again, that was Greg Urey with the M&M Service Company. It's June Dairy Month, and to celebrate, Prairie Farms has announced the kickoff of its Pouring It On sweepstakes. Throughout June, consumers can enter to win one of 500 dairy-packed prize packages. The grand prize package includes $1,000 cash and free Prairie Farms dairy products for a year. The winner's favorite Our Caps Your Cause charity will also receive $1,000. Later in June, Prairie Farms will donate and deliver 10,500 gallons of milk to 21 food banks in Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. 20 of the food banks are members of Feeding America, the nation's leading domestic hunger relief charity. In addition to the milk donations, Prairie Farms food bank partners will earn 10 cents instead of 5 cents for every milk cap redeemed through the company's cause marketing program, Our Caps, Your Cause. The company is also encouraging consumers to make donations to the Great American Milk Drive, the first ever national program to help deliver gallons of milk to hungry families who need it the most. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.